gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, Oh, You Didn't Know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T, rolling once again with that J-C-D.
I'm a madman. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
JCD, you back?
Yeah, what's up?
Welcome back to the show.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, a little under the weather the last couple of days, but doing all right.
All right, all right. Hope you feel better. We also have a special guest with us tonight. He is from Wrestling with Subtitles. Please welcome Max Zaleski.
Hey, folks. How you doing?
Great to have you on the show, Max.
Glad to be here.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started and talk about Max's cause. For those of you listening, you can call in at 760-888-5749. You can also connect with us through Skype. The name is the same as my Twitter name, Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. But Max, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your cause, Wrestling with Subtitles.
Yeah, I'll head into my little spiel here. Back in June 2012, I can no longer say that it was of this year, which is throwing me off. But back in June of 2012, I began Wrestling with Subtitles on Twitter and change.org. It's a campaign and a cause to get subtitles in North America on WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, All Japan Pro Wrestling, any company that releases their DVDs or Blu-rays to the public. They do not release subtitles, or at least English subtitles, on the DVDs or Blu-rays. For the deaf and hard of hearing fans worldwide. Of course, over in the UK, Silvervision UK, who just lost their license with the WWE, did put subtitles on select WWE releases. I know that WrestleMania 28 had some, and the CM Punk one had subtitles, but it's not worldwide yet, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel for this, where they don't release them in North America or Mexico is part of North America, South America, Australia, places like that don't have subtitles on their DVDs for the deaf and hard of hearing. I went to college to become an interpreter for the deaf, and so I've been a fan of wrestling since I was five, so about 16 years or so. And I just figured that this would be a really good cause to kind of be in the deaf and ASL community, American Sign Language community, and be in the wrestling community and do something good and give something back to, not only wrestling fans, but to all my deaf friends who come over and want to watch a wrestling DVD or anything. And, it's tiring, not that I don't love doing it, but it's tiring to sign everything that is going on the show or on the DVD. So that's why I created this campaign on change.org. If you just go to change.org and check out Wrestling with Subtitles, you just got to search it. Sign the petition. It ends on January 31st, so here in about 22 days or so. Follow us on Twitter, at WrestleSubtitle. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/WrestlingWithSubtitles. And you can also get in contact with me via email, wrestlingwithsubtitles@gmail.com.
Very nice. Very great cause. I know everyone at ProWrestlingPowerHouse.com is behind you. What is the status of the petition right now?
I checked about 3 seconds before we went on the air, and right now I have 1,064 signatures and just over 1,050 people following me on Twitter. Our Facebook is kind of slower because Facebook's more, I'd like to say that it's a little bit more personal than Facebook than Twitter. So that only has about 235, but, those are closer friends and everything, family and all that who follow that. So, but it's going pretty well. I forgot to mention that at when the petition ends, I will be printing out all of the signatures and comments on change.org, and I will be sending it to Ring of Honor, TNA, and WWE headquarters as a physical petition.
And is there a certain amount that you think is the number that you need, or how do you think it's going to work?
When I first started, I had the number set at 500, and I quickly surpassed that, which I'm so grateful for. So I don't really have a number. I've set a date, which is January 31st, to end everything, just because I've got this podcast, and I'm also being on Wizards podcast, which is a huge, huge podcast. I know that they just talked with Lance Storm and everything, but I'm going to be on there, and that's where I knew that I had a couple of bigger podcasts like this one and Wizards to kind of get that final push. Ultimately, I'd like 1,500, but I don't think I'm going to get that in the 22 days that I have left.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Are you in the New York metropolitan area?
No, I'm in Seattle.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you want to really hit WWE with it, you could always, at FanFest right around WrestleMania season, you might have some luck with that. But yeah, Seattle. That's a great cause, though. I never really noticed that. In all the DVDs that I have, I never noticed you don't have a subtitle option on them.
Absolutely. Well, good luck to you for your cause, and everyone listening, please check out Wrestling with Subtitles on Twitter at Wrestle Subtitles. Let everyone know again how they can find it. Max?
Yeah.
Can you just remind everyone again how they can find you and find the cause?
Yeah. Go ahead and go on to Twitter and check me out. It's at Wrestle Subtitle. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/WrestlingWithSubtitles. Contact me via email at WrestlingWithSubtitles@gmail.com. And then you can also get me on Tout, even though nobody uses Tout, at tout.com/WrestlingWithSubtitles.
I'm pretty sure WWE is the only ones who use Tout.
Yeah, it's been my joke that the only people who use Tout are people who get paid to use Tout by WWE, so.
Yeah, I would think so. How about you, JCD?
Yeah, I don't know anybody that even uses Tout at all.
I think Stone Cold Steve Austin uses it sometimes.
Well, I'm sure he's still getting some sort of check from them.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck to you again, Max, and keep us updated on how the petition is going, and we hope WWE and Ring of Honor and everyone else that you're sending to, put subtitles on all their DVDs.
Yeah, that's the end goal.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we're going to talk rumors and rumors tonight. A lot of things going down the last few days in the wrestling world. John, what do you want to start with?
I guess we'll start with the obvious. We'll go, since it's not really a spoiler, we'll go to last night at the SmackDown tapings in what I found to be a complete surprise. Alberto Del Rio, I guess, cementing his face turn, defeating the Big Show in a last man standing match for the world heavyweight title. Definitely, I figured Del Rio Big Show was the Royal Rumble match that it was going to be this year. I never in a million years, if you would have told me I would have woke up this morning and that would have been what I saw, I would have told you, you're nuts. Completely out of left field, especially with Del Rio not even on Raw Monday night, which I thought was a little strange, but it's interesting, and I would bet to say we're going to still see the rematch at the Rumble, and I got no idea where they're going with it now. What was your take on it?
I was also completely surprised, and there's so many different ways to look at it. Let's first talk about the fact that why did they even have Alberto Del Rio win the title at all? You know, it seemed like they were building Big Show pretty strong. I was not a fan of Big Show being world champion, but, you know, it kind of makes sense for them to put it on a face, even though I don't think it's necessary. But in order for Dolph Ziggler to cash in, maybe he needs to cash in on a face. But then I would have figured that they would probably put the title back on Sheamus, at least temporarily, in order for Ziggler to cash in. Max, what do you think?
I was pretty surprised when I woke up this morning and, you know, I looked online and everything, and it said that Del Rio had captured the title. I'm not the biggest Del Rio fan, actually. If you follow me on Twitter, you can you can see me use the hashtag Del Rio Ruins Everything on a pretty constant basis. To me, he's very bland. But I understand the idea of getting it on him. It gives him another title. It gives him another title reign. But it also allows them to have a bigger high-profile match on at the Royal Rumble without it being the fourth Big Show Sheamus match. So I understand where they're coming from. I just hope that, and this is going to sound awful, that Ziggler just cashes in and will hold the title until at least after Mania.
John, what do you think about the fact that WWE.com is spoiling the news? Do you think that they're thinking that it's going to cause more people to tune into SmackDown?
I don't know. I mean, I understood it for, what was it, New Year's Eve when Barrett beat Kofi.
Yeah.
You know, it's a holiday, and, you know, not a lot of people are gonna tune into that. I got it for that. I was a little surprised that it was on WWE.com. The only thing I could think of is maybe that they understand the way the business works now, and they understand the power of the internet and you know, dirt sheets and, you know, smartphones and all that. And they were like, you know what, if everyone else is going to have it, you know, why shouldn't we? This is not the first time, you know, everyone's kind of throwing their hands up right now, hooting and hollering about this little late kick of it recently. They've done this, though. They did it when Angle won the Battle Royal on SmackDown back in 06. They did it when Khali won the world title at the SmackDown tapings. I think, 06, 07 when he had his run. They did it when Edge cashed in on Undertaker. So, I mean, they've done it. But I think now it's a little more, I guess, deliberate and obvious because of the way the internet has changed even in 5-6 years or so. So, I mean, I guess why be behind the eight ball?
I mean, I understand. Max, what's your thought on WWE.com spoiling the news?
I think it's great. They already know that more people are going to be tuning in because The Rock is making his return to SmackDown, which is a huge draw. So I figure why not, you know, in their brain, I can see where they're like, oh, well, we should tell everybody so that even if it is another, you know, 5,000 or 10,000 viewers to tune into SmackDown because of the title change, you know, it doesn't really matter because everybody knows SmackDown is taped on Tuesday and airs on Friday. You know, there's not too many people other than, you know, the little kids who don't, you know, who don't watch or who aren't on the internet yet. You know, they don't know. So whereas that is, you know, that is a big, you know, big part of their audience, I feel that maybe they were trying to, you know, budge the internet wrestling community to try to watch as well.
Absolutely. Joining us also now is the Sam Factor back on Oh, You Didn't Know. Welcome back, Sam.
What's up, Seth?
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. We're talking the big news. I'm sure you read it or heard it, saw it somewhere.
What, Del Rio?
About Del Rio, exactly.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on title changes at happening on SmackDown when it's pre-taped?
I mean, I'm not necessarily against it. I mean, like, it does kind of, a lot of people, a lot of big wrestling fans don't even watch SmackDown, you know, and just by watching Raw, you can pretty much stay up to date on things. So I think this kind of like, you know, it's kind of like messing with people because they think, you know, being that it's taped, nothing crazy is probably going to happen. But by doing this, you know, it really gets people to you know, think twice next time they say, forget it, I'm not watching SmackDown. You know, I can just read the spoilers. Nothing really is going to happen anyway. So this kind of, you know, changes that. And I think that it was very out of the blue. Nothing like this has happened, like, you know, recently. And so, I think it was a good move.
So do you think more people will tune into SmackDown this week?
I mean, you know, another thing I read is, like, there, you know, like, people are comparing this to, like, back during the Monday Night Wars when, like, Tony Schiavone, like, called out, you know, that Mick Foley was going to win the title over on Raw, and then, like, a ton of people tuned into Raw. You know, I think they're hoping that that happens again, like, something similar to this. I think they're hoping that, you know, by, doing this and, you know, putting it out there, I think they're hoping that, you know, people are going to tune in to see how it actually happens. It's just, like, so unexpected.
Right. John, obviously this only has happened once pretty much every few years, so this isn't really changing things for a consistent basis, right?
I don't think so. I mean, they did it. I mean, it seemed like the world title was changing hands on SmackDown every 6 months in 06 and 07, but ever since then it's cooled down, so I think this is more just along the lines of, you know, they're doing it for now. And I also think part of it buys into, you know, what came out a couple of weeks ago, that they're jump-starting WrestleMania season early, and they want every show, however many it's going to be between now and that last SmackDown before WrestleMania on April 5th, they want all these shows to mean something, and I think that's what they're going for.
You're absolutely right. I know I read how Vince McMahon, like you said, wants every show to count, every show to matter. So we might see a lot more surprising things. Max, what do you think happens with the World Heavyweight Championship from now until WrestleMania?
Being the Ziggler mark that I am, I'm going to go ahead and say that he cashes in on my ideal situation, and what I think would be smart for them to do is have Del Rio and Big Show have a match at the Royal Rumble. Del Rio or Show can either win. It doesn't matter. And then on the Elimination Chamber, I feel that if Dolph doesn't cash in on at Mania or at the Rumble, he's going to cash in at the Elimination Chamber because it's a little bit more grueling. It makes a little bit more sense for him to come in at the opportune time. Unless he's already going to be in the Elimination Chamber, then he has an extra pinfall that he can use. Like, let's say that he comes in at number one for, like he starts the match and he loses, he can come back and win the match later. I think that's a great story enhancer that they haven't really used in any of the Money in the Bank cash-ins. Is like you can essentially have two matches against the champion if you're already in line. So I figured that would be a great idea to kind of give Dolph Ziggler that kind of edge.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of Edge when, I think, John or anyone can remind me what year it was, when Edge cashed in on John Cena after he had been through the Elimination Chamber.
It was 06, January 06.
Yeah, so I would not be surprised if we see a similar situation here. And anyone else thoughts on that?
I'm starting to think that Dolph Ziggler winning the Royal Rumble isn't that far-fetched at this point. And I'm thinking that, you know, kind of going off what Max said, you know, I could even see them doing that at, you know, having him, like, win the Rumble, go for the title at Mania, losing, and then, like, some, you know, like, both guys being knocked out or something, or the champion, like, I don't know, something happens where the champion gets knocked out, and then he cashes it in and wins it at Mania. I think that's a plausible scenario as well. I'm starting to see that, you know, become, you know, maybe more and more like it could happen.
Yeah, I know. I think it might have been you, John, who said on Facebook how it would really mess with everyone's minds if Ziggler.
Yeah.
Won the Rumble.
I was just going to say that. I said this about a week ago. I said, how much of a mind fuck would it be if Ziggler wins the Rumble? And it's like, now what?
What do you think happens between now and Mania?
Well, I'm gonna give you... all right, between now and Mania, what I personally think... I think he's going to cash in when we least expect it. I think they're gonna tease it, and it's going to happen completely out of nowhere. That's what I personally think. I got a scenario from a buddy of mine who I've known for 15 years. He's got a great head for the business. He actually, and I think he's got something inside he's never told me about, because he's nailed a few things right on the head months before they've happened. This is what he says, and just give me like 2 minutes just to map this out. This is completely my friend Dave's scenario for Ziggler, and you two guys who are Ziggler marks, Max said he's a Ziggler mark, you're going to love this, and Sam, it kind of plays into your scenario, what you said. Ziggler does not cash in until WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania, Ziggler has his match, has nothing to do with the briefcase. We're all probably looking at Cena, Rock for the title. Cena's going to beat The Rock, obviously. Right before the end of that match, you're going to have The Shield just come out through the crowd. This is his scenario. Not do anything, though. Cena's going to pin Rocky. Rocky's going to leave. Cena's going to get attacked by The Shield. Ziggler's going to come out and cash in on Cena. Now, Ziggler's contract's for the World Heavyweight title. Vince comes out the next night on Raw, says, this can't be, you cashed in on the wrong title. But I got to investigate it. I'll have an answer for you next week. At about 10:45, they'll show Vince leaving the arena. Vicky Guerrero is going to go up to Vince and say, I need to talk to you. It's going to get revealed the following week on Raw that Guerrero put a clause in Ziggler's Money in the Bank contract that he could cash in on any title. So the scenario my friend's got is Ziggler's going to leave WrestleMania with the WWE title and carry that into April and into Extreme Rules when all the big names from WrestleMania are gone.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I've read that, you know, WWE officials are willing to have the Money in the Bank briefcase cashed in on the WWE title. I have read that.
Like I said, he's nailed a few things right on the money in the past, and he's telling me this is just his scenario, but I don't know, where there's smoke sometimes, there's fire, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Not meaning to get off task, but it doesn't really matter where we go from here. Max, do you think that the Shield are going to be participants in the Royal Rumble?
I think that Roman Reigns is going to be in the Royal Rumble, and Ambrose and Rollins are going to be kind of like enforcers. Because the way that WWE is going to be working is that Roman Reigns is going to be the one that they want to push first, but Ambrose is so good on the mic that it's going to be really hard to keep him down and to keep him from getting the spotlight. So I think that Reigns is going to be, you know, he has more WWE look and everything. So I think that they're going to push him first, and he'll probably be in the Rumble. I don't think anything's going to come out of them being in the Rumble. Unless I've said it from the beginning that I knew that The Rock was going to be facing CM Punk. So a couple months ago, if CM Punk loses the title on that Sunday, he's winning the Rumble. Period. That's the way it's going to go. But I don't think I honestly don't think that the issue is going to be a big part of the Royal Rumble. I think they're going to be more of the match with Punk and Rock.
John, what do you think about the Shield and whether or not they will be part of the 30 participants in the Rumble?
I think they'll all be in it. There's no reason. I mean, I get the whole fact that Reigns is becoming the unexpected star of the group. Ambrose exactly is going to be the star because of his mic work. Rollins is going to be a star because of his in-ring work. And anything with Reigns has been nothing but a pleasant surprise. Maybe Reigns is the guy who has a little longevity under his belt, but I think all three are going to go in. And you know what you'll probably see? They'll all be in there together, maybe throw out some of the mid-card guys, and then Ryback will come in and toss all three of them out. That's what I think they'll probably be set up for.
You know, I was originally thinking that the Shield would be part of the Rumble, be, you know, three of the 30 participants. But then I was thinking, what if they weren't and they just came in and attacked Ryback and cost Ryback and Team Hell No the Royal Rumble? Sam,
That's exactly what I was going to say. I agree with you 100%. I see them not being like listed participants in the Rumble, but I see them doing what they've been doing and costing guys big matches. I see them doing that in this. I see them, you know, I mean, like, even though it makes absolutely no sense for guys who aren't in the match to be able to eliminate guys who are in the match, we've seen it in the past. I mean, like, Edge eliminated HBK after he got eliminated, like, you know, a couple years ago. And, like, you know, we've seen it happen other times. But I see them doing that. Like, to have them in it, I mean, none of them are going to win it, you know. But I think to have them come out, and interfere like they've been doing and cost Ryback and, you know, Team Hell No, obviously, and, you know, maybe like even like Sheamus or something like that, you know, like cost, you know, one, if not all of them, their spot, which would kind of just like keep them kind of, you know, it wouldn't make them look too weak, you know, coming out of the Rumble. It would kind of keep them in prevalent storylines and looking strong. So that's exactly what I see happening.
Here's the problem. When does Ryback finally get his heat back on them, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's all.
It ain't gonna be WrestleMania.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe Elimination Chamber.
Sure. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But I don't know. John, any other things to say on Shield, Rumble, or Alberto Del Rio and the World Heavyweight Championship?
Nah, I think we kind of hit it all, and we'll see where it all plays out.
Right. Max, anything on those topics?
No, I'm really looking forward to the surprise entrance this year, because that's always one of my favorite parts of the year. Seeing Kevin Nash or, you know, Gangrel or whoever is going to come back and do a special one-off appearance. I think that's always a fun little me and my friends do a drinking game. This person goes and you got to drink your, you know, you got to drink your drink. If this person comes out, then you got to do a shot or whatever. So it's always fun.
Interesting. And are Kevin Nash and Gangrel two predictions of yours?
No, I just threw out those because I was playing with them on WWE 13 earlier today.
Okay. Sam, anything to add on Rumble, Shield, Del Rio, the World Heavyweight Championship?
I just wanted to say that I think putting the title on Del Rio, it could possibly be, you know, them just trying to find like a scapegoat for Ziggler to cash in on and make it look believable, or it also could be, you know, them feeling that this is going to be the way they're going to get him over as a face. Because, you know, I mean, like, he hasn't really been all that believable as a face just yet. So I think that this is perhaps them, you know, they still want to, you know, continue to invest in Del Rio. And I think that by giving him the title, we'll really get, you know, it'll really be make or break to see if he'll, you know, if he can get over as a face.
He won't.
Yeah, I don't know that he will. I was kind of hoping that he and Ricardo would form a tag team.
Ricardo is so much more over than Alberto Del Rio will ever be.
That's why I think they should be a tag team.
Yeah, I'd like to see Chimera in the WWE ring.
All right, John.
You know what? One last thing on Del Rio. Right. It's a shame they did probably the best thing for his face turn on a show nobody watched on New Year's Eve. Just that little 2-minute thing in the back with Ricardo, you know, and he was like, you know, I've kind of crapped on you, and I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, you know, and gave him the scarf and the car. That's something. It was small, but if you would have done it, let's say this past Monday, on a live show where people were watching, it probably would have held a little more weight to it. But to do it on that
Absolutely.
New Year's Eve show when no one was watching was useless.
True. Yeah, do it in the ring, right?
Yeah, or even just do it on a live show where people are watching. You know, you could do this. You could have done the same exact segment, but you could have done it Monday night live instead of doing it on the New Year's Eve show or the Christmas Eve show, whichever one it was where he fought Big Show.
I agree.
Absolutely. All right, John, let's move on. Let's go to something else.
Yeah, the other news that broke today, Ole!
Ole!
El
Generico, or to be soon to renamed, as I just saw on Facebook, Thomas Tubberwink.
Are you serious?
No, just someone was busting balls.
All right,
has signed his WWE deal and has been pulled from all independent shows this weekend. It's a Triple H move, which means he's going to be pushed to the moon, which will be awesome if he keeps the character and the gimmick. And supposedly there's more guys coming, and, you know, the Generico thing was mentioned a couple of maybe like 2 months ago that they were looking at him. Now he signs. Right before Christmas, Mike Bennett was a guy that was reported to have met with, you know, the brass there. And supposedly they're not done. So first, I guess the first thing is, what do you guys think of Generico to WWE?
I think it makes perfect sense. Sin Cara has not really worked out that well.
Crap.
Only done well in the tag team with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio's career looks like it's coming to an end pretty soon. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to push for a new guy to replace them. And I only saw him when I went to Final Battle recently at the Manhattan Center against Kevin Steen, who I think is one of those other rumored guys that you were talking about, John.
Yeah.
And it was a phenomenal match. So I think it makes perfect sense, and I really like it. I'm not so sure about Kevin Steen. I don't know that he really fits.
The problem with Steen is his character is so awesome that they'll never let him do that. And anything other than being wrestling's worst nightmare would just suck. If he can't do the character, stay in ROH.
Maybe he does the character and wears the anti Cena shirt that he's got going on.
Kill Steen, kill. That's a great shirt.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Max, what are your thoughts?
I love El Generico. He is fantastic. I'm so happy. He deserves to be making all of the money that is absolutely available. I mean, it's a wonder that it took WWE this long to kind of get him in the radar. I'm sure that it's been in the works for months, but, you know, that Final Battle match with Kevin Steen was amazing. I've watched dozens of matches of his that I've never seen him have a truly bad match. And I'm really excited I'm really excited for him as a person, as and him as a career. I think that if he can get the right gimmick where he doesn't get saddled with some ridiculous name, I feel like him and, you know, it was released that Sami Callihan just had a dark match recently. I feel that a lot of the indie stars right now are going to be huge, like Brian is right now. And I just hope that they don't, that WWE realizes that Generico is a huge, huge talent.
Yeah, I like the push of the indie wrestlers in general. I think it's exactly what WWE needs to do right now. Sam, I know when we went to PWS not that long ago, Goldust was singing his praises to Sami Callihan. What are your thoughts on El Generico and the push of indie wrestlers?
I honestly can't comment on El Generico. I'm not all that familiar with him. Is he, like, underneath the mask, is he an actual luchador, or is he just, like, a guy with talent who wears the luchador mask?
He's a Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
He's a white guy. And he has red hair because his beard is bright red.
Right, exactly. And that's what I thought because I saw his picture today when I read that he got signed. And it was pretty funny. But, I mean, yeah, I, as far as the indie guys go, I mean, like, these are guys who, like, have passion for, you know, like, what they do, you know. Like, these are guys who are, like, you know, going through, you know, doing what they got to do in the indies to try and, you know, make it big. And, like, I got mad respect for these guys. And you know, they're great. They're really good. And some of them are very entertaining, you know. And I think if they could get on a bigger stage, some of them will be able to shine. And I just hope that, you know, that they get their – I hope that they get, you know, their due.
Yeah, I mean, all the WWE superstars really did work their way up from – independent or developmental territories. You know, John Cena was the prototype at FCW or whatever it was called at the time. So, I mean, I think it's a great thing to do, and I think it's great that WWE looks at other promotions and see who's hot and see who they need to add.
Yeah, I got a feeling this year we're going to be looking at a real – at the end of the day when it's all said and done, when you look at what that main roster is going to be and what that developmental roster is going to be, I think by the end of 2013, it's going to have a hell of a look to it.
Absolutely. John, what else you got for us?
Okay. This is more of an opinion thing. Is The Rock going to run out of ammo between now and the Royal Rumble? We've gotten to a point when he was about to face Cena, his stuff was fresh, so he was able to use the same stuff. He hadn't been around all the time. Cookie Puss and all that stuff that he used Monday night, supposedly he uses it again Friday night on SmackDown. I'm of the belief that Punk has way more ammunition left in him to use on Rocky that Rocky has on Punk. I said this a few months ago, and people thought I was crazy, but do any of you guys think we're looking at any type of scenario that by the time we get into Phoenix, Punk is actually more over than Rocky?
Well, I think that a lot of people were arguing that Punk was better on Raw. I wasn't really thinking about it, who was better and who was worse. I thought they were both excellent. The whole situation was done very, very well. With that said, there's not, like, that much time until Royal Rumble. It's not like how Rock and Cena were building for an entire year, even though, obviously, Rock was only showing up occasionally. You know, how many weeks do we have until Rumble?
We've got two more weeks. The problem is Rocky's going to be on every show between now and the Rumble, whereas Punk may not be. So Rocky's got four more shows he needs to come up for material for. Punk's only got two. And Punk hasn't touched on the fact that, you know what, you know, you claim you're all about these people. You left them. You went to Hollywood. You didn't want to be associated with the business anymore. Punk's got a lot more ammunition than Rock's got left. And, you know, maybe having Rock on SmackDown might end up being a negative as we roll into Phoenix.
That's very possible. It's very interesting. And I don't know how many people noticed, but lately, every Monday, I've been writing questions left unanswered after Raw on Bleacher Report. And one of my questions was, what is The Rock going to do from now until Royal Rumble? And it kind of goes along with what you're talking about, John. Is he just going to make another promo every show and then that's it? What's he going to be doing at all of these shows?
I mean, he'll get a pass for Monday, this Monday coming up, because that's going to be the anniversary show. That's fine. But then he's going to be on SmackDown Friday. He's going to be on Raw, the go-home show before the Rumble. So even if he doesn't do the SmackDown go-home show, he's still got two more shows where he's got to have fresh material to hit Punk with. And I'm going to be honest with you, even if he goes after Heyman one night, he's still got one show where what do you have left in your tank? The problem with Rock is that he may have blew his load Monday night, whereas he should have maybe stepped off a little. I get the physicality part. The Rock Bottom was the makeup for the GTS at Raw 1000. I think they should go the route of Cena and Rock and not have them be physical again until the Rumble. But I'm telling you, and I said this a couple months ago to Jay and Will, I think when we roll into Phoenix, I could see Rocky getting booed in that building.
Max, what do you expect from The Rock between now and the Royal Rumble?
I'm just go ahead and say that I hated The Rock's promo on Monday. I thought it was, and you know, there's a whole bunch of people like, oh, you're not understanding the promo. Well, no, I understood the promo fine. CM Punk just talked down to the greatest talker of all history, and he did it in 3 or 4 minutes, where The Rock had, I liked how they gave CM, it seemed like CM Punk had the focus of the promo at the end of Raw, which is good because he's the WWE champion. I don't know. I don't think that The Rock has much. What can he go with? You know, Kevin Nash already said that, you know, CM Punk looks like a waffle. I'm like, that's kid stuff, like Punk said. It doesn't make any sense for The Rock to go after him like he went after John Cena, because CM Punk is such a vast different character and such a vast, he has that feeling to him that he is going to rip you to shreds. Once CM Punk comes out and says, by the way, you left and you don't want to be, you know, here with the people, you want to be called Dwayne, I think that The Rock is really going to be, you know, there might be like actual backstage heat, because Punk is telling real truth and not just, you know, not, you know, playing with kid luck, you know, kid gloves and everything. So I think it's going to be Punk is going to go into the Rumble hot, and Rock is just going to be there floundering.
Well, when we're seeing the promos leading up to WrestleMania between Rock and Cena, they both seem to be on fire. They both seem to be doing, saying great things to both. And they didn't run out of steam, either one of them.
Yeah, but Cena's a different animal than Punk. Like, Cena, there's enough to go out. There was enough for Rocky to go after Cena about. What is Rocky really going to go after Punk about? What are you, like Max said, what are you going to say about Punk that hasn't been said? Oh, you're scrawny, you're skinny, I'm going to kick your little ass, you know, like stuff like that. Like, you can only run with that so far. With Cena, there was the, you know, his fan base, the way he talked smack about Rocky. Like, they were able, and Cena even called Rocky out about never being here, leaving, stuff like that. That's the difference of it. And CM Punk just summed it up, like Max said, in about 2-3 minutes. Heck, he summed it up in one sentence. He let Rocky go on for however long he went on, and then just looked at Rock with a straight face and said, you could be here a week, you could be here a month, but no matter what you say about me, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
And that's it. Done. Good night.
Well, if Punk is going to, as Max said, you know, take the real life into it and call Rock out for these things, Why doesn't Rock call Punk out for his lack of drawing power?
Is that really noted, though? Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, the, you know, the ratings are so different than what they were in the 90s or in the early 2000s. The Nielsen ratings doesn't mean crap anymore. WWE Raw is right.
You're probably right. I don't pay attention or care what the ratings are when.
And you know what? You know what? In all fairness to that, show me the ratings when Austin and Taker were gone and it was a Rocky Triple H show. And then show me the ratings when you had Rocky, Triple H, Foley, Taker, and Austin. They were two different things. It's the same thing. You can't kill Punk for all this.
Right, because Foley was 10 times the character that Rock ever was. He had more depth to him. The Rock came out, did his stupid little catchphrases. You know, he was solid in the ring. I don't think there was a guy back there who said that Rock was a bad ring performer. But there were guys around him that had characters that were so in-depth that it's a completely different ballgame because you got Cena, who is a solid in-ring talent. I mean, he has the fans, of course. You know, he's the face of the WWE. But other than that, right now, who else do you have other than Punk? You don't really have very many people. And if it's going to come down to CM Punk or John Cena, it's going to be a John Cena show because that's where the fans are. That's where the fans have been for the past 7 years. It's a completely different game now.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of top talent. I was just saying to someone on Twitter today, there's such a gap between the top talent and the mid card, unlike, you know, the Attitude Era where you can name 7 or 8 top guys from the Attitude Era.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? And this is how you can sum Rocky up drawing power. If Rocky ever went after Punk about it, Rocky couldn't even main event the pay per view that was named after him. Austin did.
Which pay per view?
Rock Bottom 98, Austin Taker Buried Alive, main event of that pay-per-view.
Well, that's a pretty dumb idea for the name of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but you know what, though? If Rocky ever goes after Punk for that, there's the retort right there. Dude, you couldn't even main event a pay-per-view named after you.
Right. Sam, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with the whole, you know, with The Rock losing steam. I honestly agree with Max 100%. I was not as impressed as I thought I would be with Rock's promo on Punk. When he came out, the crowd went nuts. He looked great. The guy's in phenomenal shape. Like, you know, just like his saunter to the ring. It's just like, you know, you almost get goosebumps when Rock walks to the ring. I love his theme song. It like gets you so pumped. You know, but then like his promo wasn't that good. Like he just kind of like, you know, like if he feels like nothing's happening, he throws out like a stupid word like cookie puss and you know, like the fans start chanting it and that kind of like almost saves him, you know, but like he hasn't been really holding the conversation, you know, instead he just kind of throws out these phrases and hopes the crowd starts chanting them. You know, I think that what in order to stay relevant, you know, until the Rumble, he's got to come out and he's got to have some matches. Like he's got to have some dialogue with people other than Punk. Like he's got to come out and he's got to squash some of like the lower card heels, like a David Otunga or something. You know, he's got to like he's got to have conversations with him. He's got, you know, and then he's got to like beat him. You know, he can't like, I'm not saying he's got to like beat somebody like Ziggler. You don't want him to like make anybody who's important look weak, but like some of the lower level heels in the company, you know, he's got to like come out and beat on like Raw and SmackDown. He can't just come out and cut promos because it's going to get boring. It's going to get old, you know? And that's the thing. Like the only other thing I can think about that he can go on Punk is that, you know, what Punk's been saying, you haven't been paid, you know, you've been champion for a year, but how many of those pay-per-views have you been in the main event of? Like, you know, like 2 of them, you know? And, you know, so you can go on that. But other than that, it's like, you know, what else can they argue about? You know, I mean,
yeah,
the whole
he can't even
left,
go on
you know,
that.
Yeah.
He can't even
know,
go on
like,
that because that's Punk's whole argument right there. Punk would turn around
exactly.
And be like, I know, tell me something I don't know.
Right, and that's shoot. Yeah,
another thing Rocky needs to make sure he's got in place is he cannot get winded and suck wind the way he did about 5 minutes into the Cena match at WrestleMania, because I guarantee you he's going to go about 25, 30 minutes with Punk, and Punk's just going to have him moving. And if he's nowhere near ready to go, like he wasn't for WrestleMania, Punk's going to make him look terrible.
That's true. And I don't agree with you, Sam, on Rock's promo. I personally love The Rock and what he's done. If you can come up with these ridiculous, goofy words and these crazy ideas that no one's going to think of, that's going to be funnier than, you know, just saying real shit. So it may just be me being a huge Rock fan.
Yeah.
But
that's good.
I thought it was golden. Who was that, John?
Yeah, that's good only so often. That's great when you do it once in a blue moon, and you know, if you want to do it for one promo.
Right.
But when that's going to be your go-to card, that's not good. Don't get me wrong. Rocky had some great points in his promo. I love the fact that despite all the silliness and all the ridiculousness, at the end of the day for Rock, it was, I'm going to beat you and I'm going to take that. That was fine. All the circus stuff, though, that makes a Rocky promo, is where he needs to be careful going forward, because that's where he's going to run out of steam. Because anyone can sit there and say, I'm going to kick your ass and take that title from you. You expect Rocky to be different. You expect him to be unique. And calling CM Punk Cookie Puss on the next four shows is not going to do it, especially when Punk's got bullets in the gun that he hasn't even begun to look to fire yet.
I agree. He can't repeat himself. He's got to come up with new stuff every time, be funny sometimes, be real other times, and, you know, they both have to make it seem like either one's going to win, because obviously, I don't think that it is obviously one or the other. Just like Rock or Cena, no one really knew who was going to win. So, Max, your thoughts?
On who's going to win, or?
On the promos and the situation.
I'm just excited to watch CM Punk tear Rock apart again. I was the biggest Rock fan back when he was leaving. So, like, 2002 to 2004, I thought heel Rock was great. It's just, he's trying too hard, and it's showing. And that's my problem.
Right. I can see that. John, any last things before we close things down and make announcements?
Yeah, real quick. A couple of interesting names have popped up for the Hall of Fame recently that actually tie into DDP. Jake Roberts has been staying with DDP, enrolled in the DDP yoga program. Jake's down 50 pounds. The other name that's come up is Scott Hall. And there does seem to be a little bit of a belief that those two guys may be getting in shape for Hall of Fame induction. So that may be something to keep an eye on, as Monday night we are going to get the first inductee announced during Raw 20. So, but keep an eye on Jake the Snake and some combination of Scott Hall, maybe with Kevin Nash, or as I know some people have been, you know, chomping at the bit for lately on the main site, an NWO induction, which...
Yeah,
it's going to be great
really
when Dixie allows Hogan to appear at the cost of, like, R-Truth doing a promo at Slammiversary.
Right. Well.
Yeah, because they really got a lot out of Christian.
I know. And it's great to have Christian back with WWE now.
Yep. Other than that, I mean, I'm good. That's everything I had for tonight. So yeah, I guess we can, with a couple minutes to go, get into announcements, some guests, some stuff coming up.
All right, Max, any last things you want to shout out?
Yeah, just real fast. Check out thewrestlinggame.com. I'm a staff member there. It's an amazing game. It's a wrestling based, text based game. They've given me a whole bunch of support from the get-go. They've messaged every single player. It's a game played by 150,000 people a year. It's fantastic. Go ahead and check out thewrestlinggame.com, and that's it.
And what date is your petition closing?
January 31st, change.org. Just search Wrestling with Subtitles and go ahead and sign and comment to why that's important.
Okay, awesome. And hopefully in February you can come back on and let us know the next thing, the next steps.
It would be my pleasure.
That would be great. JCD, you want to do any shout-outs of your for yourself?
No, I mean, I got a couple articles up on the main site that I sent last week, a great CM Punk article, another article about comparing a Ryback title reign to Goldberg, and there should be something maybe this weekend on a potential Zack Ryder heel turn and how it could actually work.
Well, that would be interesting. When John says main site, he is obviously talking about ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. To do a little bit of announcements, every Wednesday in January, we have special guests coming on. Of course, tonight was Max from Wrestling with Subtitles. Next Wednesday, we're going to have independent wrestler Grey Wolf. Don't ask me anything about him right now because I don't know. January 23rd.
Fair enough.
In 2 weeks, we're going to have former WWE NXT diva Sophia Cortez. I don't know how to pronounce her real name, but we have a thing going on with Family Wrestling Entertainment, FWE Wrestling. They have their No Limits 2013 show going on in Brooklyn, New York, February 16th. So we're going to have a few guests of theirs. But
I'll probably end up going to that.
I kind of think I should too. So, John, let's you and I talk about that.
Well, yeah, we'll work on that because that's literally right in my backyard.
Yeah, that would be good. It's a little far for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. So that's January 23rd, former WWE NXT diva Sophia Cortez. January 30th is, John, you got a guest for us, Allie Parker. What can you tell us about Allie?
She's out of Las Vegas. And just like with your guy Grey Wolf, I ain't got much yet.
All right. Well, we will learn all about independent wrestling.
Yep.
All right. So those are the guests coming up in for the remainder of January here on Oh, You Didn't Know. Catch tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Grand GSM Matthews will be hosting his Spoilers podcast with Ben and myself. We'll join him once again. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. That's GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. Again, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is our main site. If anyone's interested in contributing in any way to PWP, please let me, John, or Jay, the owner, know. You can do that through the website at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That's a lot of plugs I just did right there. I hope I didn't forget any. And, of course, John, if you ain't down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
There you go. Have a good night.
See you guys later.
Later.